welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is Christmas Eve. Pastor Alan Miller will be leading the congregation this morning, and we wish to congratulate Don and Judy Vogelsmeyer as they celebrated 61 years of marriage on December 22nd. We thank them for sponsoring our radio broadcast this morning. Mrs. Judy Tugendhat will be at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. And I don't know if it's too early to say Merry Christmas, but we are very close to the celebration of Christmas. As you can see, we got our major scene set up for the children's program tonight, and we are so close. And yet, technically, we are still in the season of Advent, as all season long we have been preparing our hearts and minds for the coming of Christ. And even though it's the fourth week today, we do know that it's a very short week. For we celebrate Jesus' coming tomorrow. But as you're well aware, each week we have been lighting a new candle, knowing that this is a season of preparation as we prepare our hearts and minds for Christ's return. And so today we light our fourth and final Advent candle. And this candle represents love. We have a God of love who gives out his many gifts and blessings, his promises to his people, and that is what we celebrate at Christmas, and that is what we are encouraged to share with other people as Christ loved us. So we share that same love to those around us. In light of all of his gifts, let us sing our first hymn together, number 387. Would you please stand as you're able? For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. These are the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your presence this morning, we confess that we have daily sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have closed the doors of our hearts toward you. We have shut our ears to hear your word, and we have shut our eyes to see your truth. We have not loved you nor your ways as we should. As you have the keys, Father, open our hearts to receive your Son, give us forgiveness, and open the way to heaven before us. Almighty God, merciful Father, you have sent your Son into the world to open the way to heaven for all people. Lead us by faith to enter through the door, who is Jesus. We praise you for opening heaven before us. And we thank you for bringing us into your church, wherein you daily and richly forgive us our sins. Give us confidence and strength, knowing that we are your people, loved, cherished, and forgiven, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration which Cornelius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Over the past couple of Wednesdays, we've been going over the song, O Come, Emmanuel. And each week, we've simply taken a verse from the hymn and talked about it. And today, I want to continue that series, bringing us now to verse 5, where we just sang, O come, thou key of David. Open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. I just absolutely love this verse. It's essentially a prayer based on the verse from our Revelation reading, where John writes saying that these are the words from the one who is faithful and true, who holds the key of David. And what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Again, I just love the imagery used in this hymn. Lord, you can open things that no one can close? Well then, open wide, we beg you, our heavenly home. And you can say that you can close things that no one can open? Why then, mighty God, close the path to misery. Part of the reason why I love this verse so much is that it reminds us that there's actually two purposes to keys. That they both lock and unlock things. Well, that's nothing profound. Usually, though, whenever we think of keys, we tend to think of them just one-dimensionally. And that is, we tend to think of them in terms of their ability to unlock things. But just as important as we see here, we must keep in mind that the keys also lock. For as we'll discuss a little bit later, that in itself is a beautiful and most wonderful detail. Open wide our heavenly home and close the path to misery. But it's in this way, dear friends, that Jesus is the key of David. For the key of David here refers to the keys of the kingdom. We could say that these are the keys to the storehouses of the king's treasuries. These are God's keys to paradise itself and to the heavenly mansions in the sky. And Jesus, we celebrate today, is the key who unlocks all of these things for you. Imagine, if you would, all the treasuries of God. And imagine yourself a beggar. And right next to you, there stood this house of mercy. And inside, you know that all the trappings that a beggar could ever need are inside. There's water for washing. There's bread to eat. There's clothing for the naked and medicine for the sick. But then imagine it all behind locked doors. Instead of being a house of mercy, no doubt we would think this to be a house of torment. How tormenting would it be to see everything you could ever need, to see everything you could ever desire, a limitless storehouses of one's daily needs, but having no way to actually obtain it because the doors are locked. To go in another way, that would be to be a thief and a robber. Surely something that the master of the house would not tolerate. To make your way in, uninvited, unwelcomed, and without the key is something that the king would never accept, and surely he would throw us into prison. How terrible it would be, longing for your deep bodily needs, dear friends, but having no way to obtain them. But how terrible would it be if such was our case spiritually? Forget your physical needs for a moment and think now about your eternal needs. How awful would it be to be a beggar for eternal things, yet having no place to obtain them? Needing the forgiveness of sins, but finding it locked up. To need spiritual bread and medicine, or else to perish eternally. To need a robe of righteousness to clothe us before we're summoned to stand before the judge of the holy God. What a torment that would be. But it's at Christmas that we may have the peace of mind that such never has to be your case. For the Father has given us the key to all of these wonderful things. David's key has been given to all mankind. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. This baby born at Christmas, he wasn't simply born, but he was rather given. All babies are born, but what makes this Christ child so unique and worth celebrating is that Jesus is the only baby who was truly given. He's the God's eternal Son who pre-existed all time and space, whom the Heavenly Father has given now as a free gift to all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Though this key didn't appear as anything significant, as just a lowly infant, yet in reality, this was the infinite God. Though the key came in the form of an unremarkable baby, yet even still, this is the key which unlocks the treasuries of God's grace. It unlocks the floodgates of his mercy and the storehouses of all of his riches. And the mere fact that God has given you the key means that you are his most welcomed guest. He doesn't want you to be a stranger, but to come freely and to take all that you need. The giving of a key implies that you are welcomed. And best of all, this key opens up everything humanity needs for life and salvation. Jesus himself, as the key, opens heaven's gates to sinners. We saw this in his death, how he tore the temple veil in two, and how he opened wide the Holy of Holies. He tore down every barrier between God and man. This Jesus is the key, dear friends, to the Father's presence as he appeases his righteous anger for your sin. Jesus is the key to the Father's heart as he still today intercedes, mediates, and prays for you and his people. Jesus is the one and only key as he opens wide our heavenly home, that place which he has prepared for you, prepared since before the foundations of the world. And now that resting place, it is open for you. Come unto me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will not leave you nor forsake you, he says. What a glorious key is this, that it fits every door which leads to a blessing of God. And by the hands of faith, dear friends, this key is yours. It's by faith that the soul may reach out and claim this key as its own. As Thomas said, so ought we sang, my Lord and my God, wrapping the hands of our faith around it and calling it mine. The Lord Jesus so gives himself for this exact purpose, so that you may enter freely into the good favor of God, eternally, blessedly, and securely. And I just love to stress that last part of security. For not only is the door opened, but as John says, these are the words of him who is holy and true. This is the faithful one, and his promises once made always go forth. God never changes his mind, nor does he ever repent of his promises, but he rather guarantees them forever. Jesus has opened the door to paradise, and no one may shut it upon you. Literally, Jesus says, they can't. As in, that is an impossibility, for the door is never closed to you at this side of heaven. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And Jesus assures us that this is the year of the Lord's favor, so that not even the devil and his hosts can shut the door before the saints. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the last aspect of this key of David relates again to this security, knowing that what Jesus shuts, no one can open. Now, I can't hear that phrase without thinking back to Noah's Ark. If you remember when Noah and his family entered the ark, right before the rain started, we are told that God himself was the one who closed the door. To the point in which I believe that Noah couldn't have left the ark even if he wanted to. God had closed the door and no one can open it. Noah and his family was locked in until the floodwaters ceased. God had locked them in, which at the same time essentially means that they locked them out from all of the chaos and destruction outside. What a wonderful thing that God himself closes up the doors of destruction for his people. If it was Noah's job to close up the door, I would have been terrified. I mean, this was a door big enough for two elephants to walk in side by side. This was a massive door. But praise God that it's not left into man's hands to close up these doors of destruction. If it depended upon me to make sure these doors were watertight before a catastrophic worldwide flood hit it, then no doubt I'd be dead. If my life and security depended upon me and my own ability to protect myself from any harm, from all sorts of danger and destruction, I'd be lost. My flesh and spirit are so weak that if my security rested upon my own shoulders or upon my own choices that I make, then I would have no security at all. But praise be to God, for I find so much comfort in verse 8 of our Isaiah reading, saying that even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. For we are told time and again that the Lord reproves his true children, and he leads them time and again to true repentance and life. Those whom he has called since before the foundations of the world, he shall win and save. Praise be to God that the Lord himself takes care to lock up the doors of destruction for his people. As the saying goes, there but by the grace of God go I. Praise him, dear friends, knowing that your security rests not in your own hands, but in his faithfulness. No one shall snatch them out of my hands, Jesus says. Nothing shall separate you from your God. For all whom you have given me, Jesus prays, I have lost not one. When Jesus asked his disciples, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? The correct answer was no. Jesus had taken the Father's wrath, and he drank that cup himself. He drank that cup down to its dregs, meaning that there was not even any residue left within the cup. He turned it upside down and drank every last particle of God's judgment. Meaning there is no wrath left, dear friends, for the child of God. If you are Christ and hold on to him, the key, by faith, then has all been outpoured and satisfied in the person of Jesus. It's all in this key of David who has locked up the doors of destruction for his blessed people. Dear friends, what a glorious and most gracious God we have, who opens and no one can shut, and shuts and no one can open. And this Christmas, it's my privilege to invite you all afresh to enter into God's presence with joy, peace, and security, that we can enter by faith through the blood of the Lamb, washed from all sin. Enter into this house of mercy and say, come, thou key of David. Open wide our heavenly home and close the path to misery. Amen. And the peace of God who surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And this time we sing our next hymn, 389. Stand and join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for looking upon your creation with mercy. We thank you for looking upon this world, which your people have corrupted, and you have had pity upon it. Truly, you are a God of mercy and grace, who desires not the death of the wicked. And so today we give you thanks and praise as we remember how you have most graciously given your Son to die for us. You have opened the way to paradise for all who call upon you. Give us eyes to see and hearts to rejoice over all of your benefits toward us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious God, you have given us reason to rejoice in this life. For you have made a way to have mercy upon sinners. Without your loving kindness, life would be meaningless. All our doings in life would be vanity. But we thank you for the gift of your Son, who makes all things have eternal significance. Lead us to live for eternity as we serve our neighbors and one another with love. Give us joy this Christmas as we celebrate your gracious gift. Give us joy and peace into our hearts, and give us joy as we spend time with family and friends. Lead us, Father, to share in uplifting and supportive conversations with all those around us. And just let all our doings in life be pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, you are the mighty giver. You have held nothing back from your creation, giving even your own Son. Help us to see Christ as the key of David, and give us the assurance that through him, our eternity is secured in your hands. Lead us not to have false assurance, but to trust solely in Christ, who has given himself to be our Savior, knowing that by faith he holds us firmly in his hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we thank you for being so giving and forgiving to your people. We thank you for providing for all our needs of body and soul. Daily you provide, defend, and preserve us. And we ask that you would so look upon those who are on our hearts and minds this morning with special interest and with healing. Those who are hurting in body, soul, and spirit, visit with joy and your healing touch. We ask that you would especially be with Randy, Cora Lee, Ron, Carolyn, and with all the family and friends, Lord, of this congregation. Let your good and gracious will be done, and use all trials to bring people into your kingdom, and also to strengthen the faith of your children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now this time we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand for our concluding collect? Heavenly Father, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we may joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, and by faith lead us to hold fast to him as the key to all joy and blessings. Give us the sure confidence that when he comes again to be our judge, we will be found forgiven in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.